Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company.
Good evening and welcome back to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here. I hope as ever you've had a wonderful week so far. Coming up tonight, we're just over 12 hours away from the start of one of the biggest Ireland events of the year, the 2022 Parish Walk. We hear from the man in charge of making sure it all happens. It's a big moment this weekend for men's netball on the Isle of Man. They're said to be pitting their wits against top opposition across the water for the very first time. And it's also a massive weekend in store for Isle of Man walking football, who are looking to do some giant killing at a prestigious competition. That is all to come this evening. So kicking things off tonight, one of the biggest Ireland events of the year is taking place tomorrow. Hundreds and hundreds of people will be out in force taking part in the 2022 Parish Walk. They'll be taking on all or part of a huge 85-mile course around the Isle of Man, either competitively, in aid of a charitable cause, or just for a bit of fun with the rest of the Manx community. Preparations for this mammoth occasion have been taking place over the last few months, but now it's finally here and race director Ray Cox is just as excited as anyone.
Yeah, Manx Telecom Parish Walk gets off 8 a.m. tomorrow morning at the NSC. So a lot of preparation, a lot of work all comes to this point, but we're really looking forward to it.
Now, of course, the big draw of the Parish Walk, or at least one of the big draws, is the fact that it brings communities together and people are raising money for big causes. And there are those at the front who are the competitive walkers out there. Who do you think this year are the ones potentially to keep an eye on as the front runners?
Well, if we look at the men's race, we've got last year's winner, Paul Atherton. He's been going well in other endurance events. He also is a runner as well. So Paul has to be the favourite. He's wearing the number one vest, so he's got the target on his back, as it were. And then, of course, we have Liam Parker, a previous winner as well, in number three seed, Richard Gerrard, multiple winner. And, you know, could Richard have a good walk on Saturday? You could not discount it. And then, of course, we have the upcoming star, Simon Gaughan, who walked fabulously last year till literally stamina got to him and whatever, and he got overhauled. But year older, year stronger, he'd be one I'd be looking out for.
Because it is, like you say, it's not just the stamina side. Obviously, the distance is, you know, enormous if you think about it, but it's managing it, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. There's so much mental strength required for parish walk. They always say that there's one trait that every parish walk finisher has. And it doesn't matter if they're male, female, big, small, whatever. They're all really strong-minded people. Stubborn, perhaps. And it's that doggedness that sometimes gets them through the inevitable bad patch. Because every walker goes through a bad patch on Parish Walk Day. It's just how well you deal with it that makes the difference.
And the matter of course, what could be a big thing is hydration. Because as it stands, I believe we could be looking at some seriously good weather.
Yeah, yeah. The forecast is set fair. We're looking at a warm day on Saturday. So therefore, our advice to walkers will be take precautions. You know, wear a hat, have lots of sunscreen, don't get sunburned, and then dehydration. Drink plenty, drink early. Don't wait to get thirsty. That's the advice. And we have lots of feed stations out there, lots of water. So don't forget your speed cup for taking drinks at the water stations. So drink plenty, drink early.
So let's take a look at the course, the vast course of the Parish Walk. In terms of, let's say, maybe some of the more technical areas and more challenging areas, which are the ones that stand out that really do test you physically and mentally?
Well, we've got an 85-mile course and it encompasses all parts of the Isle of Man, which of course adds to the charm of the Parish Walk. We show off the Isle of Man in its absolute best light. But of course, for novice walkers and those walkers maybe attempting the challenge as far as Peel, the Slock is the big one. That's the questions we get asked most frequently. The Slock, where is it? How steep is it? How bad is it to go up the Slock, etc.? So Slock is the one that's on people's minds. And of course, that's rising out of Rushen. So you've done already 20 miles and, you know, you've got the fatigue, you've got that uphill stretch. But I'll say personally, when I did the parish, I found the Slock quite an enjoyable experience.
And the fact as well that as the Parish Walk has grown over time, you've talked about these different locations along the course as well. When you talk about the likes of Patrick, for example, and Peel, just to name two, that could be a bit of a reinvigorating experience within itself, because what's happening is you go through maybe quieter parts of the Isle of Man on certain points, but then you get back into the hustle and bustle and the energy of the event. That can do wonders for someone's confidence at certain points, can't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's what makes the parish walk very, very unique. And even back in the day, I mean, I did it in 1994, much smaller race. But what struck me was how much support you got from the Manx people, the people in the countryside, the people in those remote areas, sitting at the end of their gardens, offering you a cup of tea, giving you encouragement. And that happens all the way around. Of course, we've got the big points, the big razzmatazz, the bright, the busy parts and whatever. And they, of course, give walkers a tremendous feeling. But there are quiet points as well. And the stretch between Jerby and Bride, that's the one that'll test people most mentally. Fatigue has set in. You've gone over 50 miles. You know, it's a long stretch between Jerby and Bride. Of course, it's a narrow road, high hedges. And every time you go around a turn, you think you're at Bride Church, but you're not. So it can break people mentally, that stretch.
And of course, we always come back to this point, but of course it is very important as well. Yes, there are, obviously we have our front runners in the competitive side of things, but by and large, the majority of it is a community event, and that's part of the magic of it, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. The atmosphere that is generated by having so many people all doing the same activity together, it's incredible. The vast majority of our entrants are fun walkers. They're challenging themselves. They want to go to one point or another point, and many of them are doing it for charity. We've had a go at trying to quantify how much money is raised every year, but it actually runs into the hundreds of thousands.
And on the side of it as well, that people do different preparations going into it depending on what their ambitions are. Some of it are out there to enjoy it and raise money. Some people want to do it competitively. How much variation can there be in preparation for it depending on what people want to do with it?
Well, the huge variation. I think if you're a serious walker, you've already done months of training and whatever. But we do have repeated finishers who claim that they never train. Now, they would have active lifestyles. They would have busy jobs and whatever. But they maintain that they never trained for the parish walk. But yet, every year, another finish chalked up.
As it stands, how many are we expecting to be taking part?
Well, we have 1,296 entrants. And I would expect most will turn up on the line. A number of finishers, probably about 160, I'm guessing. But it'll be interesting to see.
And I suppose with those numbers in mind, with all that we've talked about, what's it going to be like once the once it actually gets underway and you see all those people on the start line?
Well, down at the NSC, it's tremendously colourful, it's bright, it's really adrenaline, and it's such a fantastic experience. We'll be just happy to get the event off, because it's now the culmination of all our efforts for months. It's a lot of hard work by a lot of people, so we'll be relieved just to see it get off.
Race director of the 2022 Parish Walk there, Ray Cox. And moving on now, this weekend we'll see a big step taken for men's netball on the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man men's squad are taking part in their first ever off-island tournament in Chester this Saturday, pitting their wits against opposition from the UK. A 12-strong squad is heading across the water, co-captained by Rob Mason and Stephen Mulhern. I caught up with both of them this week to find out how they're feeling about heading away from Manx Shores to compete for the very first time.
So yeah, it's going to be held in Chester. We're playing against three other teams. So we've got West Cheshire, men's and mixed netball team. We've also got Northern Titans, who are also a sort of northern-based team. And then we've got Knights, who are a team from London that we're going to be playing against.
From what you know of them already, how high of a level, I suppose, of competition do you think you'll be coming up against?
I think overall it will be a tough test either way. I think the Knights and the Titans are more well-established men's teams. I think West Cheshire is still in its infancy, sort of similar experience aged to us here in the Isle of Man. So I think it's going to be a varied test with different levels, but it should be a great experience to see how close we are, how far off, where we need to improve, how other teams have improved, and really set the benchmark for what we need to move forward on.
Like you say, different levels of potentially, you know, skill and experience that you might be coming up against. Being able to not just gauge your own level, but gauge your own level against what you might perceive as different levels to see where you fit in. Just how important is that going to be going forward as you yourselves progress?
Yeah, I think it's always important as a personal development to see where you're at And that'll be a good learning curve for all the players that we've got playing with us at the moment. I think we, within our own squad, we're at different levels. So it'd be good to see what it looks like outside of the Isle of Man and what other people are up to, so we can learn and pick up bits from them, and everyone will do that individually.
And since the team first started, obviously it is a gradual process, but you know, building yourselves up in terms of honing technique and skills and whatnot. Since it first began, and you mentioned that, you know, players are at certain different levels as it stands, how has that been trying to manage that?
I think the most important thing we're really focusing on is just trying to enjoy it as well. With a lot of sports, men's netball is still new. There, as we said, we have people who've played for maybe 12, 18 months max. I think they are who what we would class as the more experienced players. But we're always looking and bringing in influx of new people to learn the basics. And we're all, even though some are more experienced than others, there is still so much to learn and so much to improve on. So we've worked hard and we've been playing against some of the ladies teams on the Sundays during the season. And it has been a bit of a reality check for a lot of things, because, you know, there are things that which we have to our advantage, you know, height being primarily one. But the tactics of the game, we're still getting to grips with and still learning on and still improving. And the girls have been great help as well as good competition, because they've all been involved in trying to help us get better. So, yeah, it's an interesting bag, really.
You've sort of half answered the question I was going to ask next. Obviously, being involved in the women's senior leagues over the 21-22 campaign and being able to, yeah, as you mentioned, come up against teams who maybe have that, you know, that tactical advantage, just how vital has that been in terms of building up your own skills to this point and also looking forward?
Yeah, I mean, we've been coached pretty well this year in terms of Claire, who's looked after us. We have different challenges each week, so we've tried as we've gone through the season, as well as we're gaining experience, is to bring different players on into different positions, so we are trying to evolve different skill sets within the game rather than using, like Steve says, at the moment playing ladies we have a physical advantage in some ways. We try and not always use that, because we know the goal is to play men's games like this weekend, and therefore you lose that advantage, so you need to be able to have those other skills as well. And like Steve said, you know, we've had the help of a lot of the girls and ladies that we've been playing have come along to our training sessions. They've helped us, they've given us pointers and stuff, and so those development areas, you know, we're learning as we go. We've still got a lot, like Steve says, a lot to learn, but we have, I believe, you know, over the last 12 months we've developed a lot already.
The landscape for men's netball on the island is very different to, say, the UK, for example. Not just looking to this tournament example, but looking forward in the years to come, as it were. How confident are you that the men's netball scene on the Isle of Man can just continue to grow over time?
In terms of confidence, definitely, because I think the UK is a prime example. That attraction's there. There is starting to get more and more teams who, obviously, as we mentioned, West Cheshire, prime example, some are of similar age as us. I think locally here, the real important thing we have is it is that experience gap, that it isn't that great, and there is still so much scope for all men to come in, or, you know, to come in and try and come down to training, you know, work hard and, you know, potentially represent the island in something. So the idea is to try and encourage the growth, continue it for more men's teams here locally, and focus on, you know, a more international picture. At the moment, you know, we all represent the Isle of Man for a sport which is only very new. As soon as we start to have more local teams, the competition is going to get an awful lot more difficult, and that will push the quality and experience of the international side for a wider ranging bunch of events which will come up as the popularity continues to grow.
You said it there, it is a relatively new concept, men's netball, but from whether it's yourselves and your own thoughts about it or other members of the team, for example, what do you enjoy most about this in particular sport?
For me, I think it's a new challenge. So it's a different sport. It's a new opportunity, so that you get that whole new development curve that you might have had, in a sport that you may have been playing for a long time. You've perhaps plateaued a little bit. So this is a new thing. There's lots to learn. It's far quicker. And that stigma that it's a ladies' game, and when men come and try it, a lot of them realise that it's fast, it's furious, it played. And as I say, you look on the international stage, it's played a lot in Australia, played a lot in New Zealand. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there. And, you know, it is a competitive sport. And at the end of the day, sport is fun, it's enjoyable, it keeps you fit.
For me, yeah, absolutely. I think the fitness side is really, really important for me. It's tough, it's hard work. There's an awful lot to learn and get your head around tactically. It's a game very much of nuances. It's small things that make big differences. And there are so many different variations to learn and things that still I can't get my head around. but they make the biggest change. And I think I previously come from football, basketball. that sort of realms, and it's just as important. So it's a good way to build up a new skill and also try and just genuinely get better at something, is always a good feeling.
Going forward as well, if there are others listening out there who are interested in getting involved in some form, whether it's casually or competitively, to keep building the sport, how can they get involved?
There is an opportunity for people to come in and play. We've had people who joined in the last couple of months. You don't have to, don't get scared off by the fact they've not played for 18 months. There's a lot of nuances in our team. We've still got training on Monday nights at 8 o'clock at the NSC. We've got training on Friday nights at the NSC at 7 o'clock. So there's a couple of opportunities there to try and get yourself down. We're more than welcoming. It's a social sort of environment. It's not all, you've got to know what you're doing before you get there. You'll be shown what to do, and it's good to get involved.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
And rounding off this evening, we heard there it's a big day for men's netball tomorrow, but it's also an important and exciting weekend this weekend for Isle of Man walking football. Two Manx walking football teams will be involved in the Four Nation tournament at the National Sports Campus in Dublin this Saturday, taking on squads from Ireland, England and Wales. Isle of Man team manager Mike Sharp spoke to me this week about how everyone is feeling ahead of this tough but exciting challenge.
Well, it's the Nations Cup. For the first time, Isle of Man is sending a team off Ireland to play at international level, walking football, against England, Ireland and Wales.
And just give us a bit of a flavour of some of the teams you're going to be coming up against during that.
Well, there's the age categories are 50 plus and 60 plus and 70 plus, although not for us. We're not entering a 70 plus team this time. So the youngest player will be 50 in our squad anyway, and the oldest player in our two squads will be 70. So it's quite an age range. But there'll be about 15, 16 teams altogether. There's women's teams as well from all three nations, and some of the nations are entering two teams per category. So there'll be around about 250 players altogether. So it's quite a big event. We'll be playing at the National Sports Campus in Dublin.
Walking football has grown exponentially around the world over the last few years. How good does it feel that the Isle of Man is part of that global stage?
It's really great to be able to compete and enter at international level, as our special status as an island nation allows that. But really, our squads, if you like, are not much bigger than, say, one of the big individual clubs in the UK. Although we've grown a great deal, we're still tiny, I suppose. So our player resources are considerably less than say, Wales or England. It really is going to be a David and Goliath. We're going to have to do some giant killing to get anywhere in the tournament.
Just looking at the team sheet here, you look at the different teams from the Isle of Man that are represented here: Corinthians, Union Mills, St John's, Douglas and District, Governors as well. So there is clearly, talent coming from each club as it stands anyway. It's not like there is just one particular club that is flourishing. It's coming from several sides.
Yeah, those are the league teams. There are other sessions where non-league players, they've grown considerably. And there's altogether there are four sessions a week playing at the Bowl and at St John's. And yes, it has grown tremendously. Going back, say, 3, at most 4 years ago, it was probably just a dozen or a couple of dozen of guys just having a kickabout, really, and just having a bit of fun. And it's grown from there.
Different sports, when they've been setting up in the last few years on the Isle of Man, have talked about how the Isle of Man is an excellent platform to get a different sport, a different activity started. Would you agree with that when it comes to walking football over the past few years?
Yes, tremendously. The Isle of Man FA actually started walking football sessions playing in the hall at the NSC, I think probably 5, 6 years ago, maybe more. And they've promoted the sport and helped us along the way until we got to the point where we got that sudden surge of growth following a festival that we held at Douglas Bowl about 3 years ago that helped to give it a boost. And then my friend and colleague, Pete Nash, he set up the league, and that got going, and again we got another spurt of growth. Now we then began sessions at St John's, so we had two venues that gave us another spurt of growth. Now we've entered this international competition and we've got another surge of interest, so it really has been a roller coaster ride.
You say the surge of interest, but there's been a surge in skill as well, because before we actually started this interview, you were talking about how, you know, you've been playing yourself, but in a managerial role, there just maybe isn't a place for you this time around, because the quality under your leadership has grown so much.
Well, yes, I've not been alone in helping things to grow and improve. But yes, I guess I've done too good a job almost. I now can't get into any of the international teams and struggle to get into the league side. So it's I'm having to play my football, if you like, through the players who are playing in the international squads now. But I'm enjoying it. It's a tough task at times, but it's a lot of fun and a big challenge.
Absolutely. So looking ahead to the weekend, you've already said it could be a bit of a David and Goliath situation considering the nations you're coming up against. But where would you hope at the moment to end up come the end of this latest round?
Oh, we're going to win it, of course. But the
ambitious, I like it.
No, I think we're not afraid. We're not overawed. We'll be respectful, but we're not going just to make up the numbers. We want to do a bit of giant killing if we can. We'll certainly be doing our best. It's an honour and a privilege to be representing the island, and we'll be doing our best.
And outside of just the results, for example, maybe from a tactical standpoint or what you might see of what other teams doing, what are the sort of main things you can hope to learn from these other teams as well that you can bring back to the Isle of Man to keep improving the Manx game?
Well, we've got some good coaches here. I think we have improved tremendously, but obviously playing against the experienced players of England, Ireland and Wales, who've got hundreds, thousands of clubs and many, many more thousands of players' resources to call on to pick that team. So they'll be experienced, they'll be stronger possibly, but, you know, we are not afraid. It would be good for us to be able to mention our sponsors, our main sponsor, who's been tremendous in supporting us and funding. It's very expensive to take teams across to these tournaments. Paul Carey and Sons, good at building roads and bridges, and now football teams. So thanks to them, and Spot On Cleaners too have helped us, and not forgetting the Isle of Man FA themselves who contributed, as well as St John's FC. So a big thank you to them from all who play walking football.
And of course, Mike, looking ahead as well, the Isle of Man isn't just going to be participating, but it could very well be hosting it in future, couldn't it?
Yes, we're going to Dublin this weekend. We're going to England, Redditch, in September the 11th, where we play in the next leg of the tournament. But the big thing is that next year we'll be playing in all four legs, but one of the legs will be here on the Isle of Man, when there could be as many as 350 players visiting the island, 20 teams, four nations. We'll take over the Douglas Bowl for the day and we'll hold the tournament there. So it will become a significant sporting event for the island.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
That's all we have time for this evening. Many thanks to my guests this week, Ray Cox, Rob Mason, Stephen Mulhern and Mike Sharp. Well, have yourself a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend, and best of luck to all those taking part in the 2022 Parish Walk tomorrow. So, until next time, bye for now.